Thoughts on the Psalms. Psalm 132. The Temple. Now, of course, we have to remind ourselves that we're in the Old Covenant here, and we're talking about David, King David in Israel, and we're talking about the Old Covenant, as I say. Lord, O Lord, remember David and all the hardships he endured. And then the psalmist goes on to speak of the way David was determined to find a house, a building for God, a place where he could erect a temple worthy of the name of God and for his worship. Of course, no building could match the glory of God. But David was resolved, I will not go to bed, I will not sleep until I have found this place. We heard of it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jer. He knew where he was going to build the temple. In Zion he would be there. And of course he wanted God to enter that temple, verse 7, verse 8. Let us worship at his footstool. Oh, arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. And there's the prayer for the priests, for the joy of the saints, for the singing of God's praise, and God making tremendous promises to him in the covenant he made with David. One of your own descendants, he said in verse 11, will sit upon your throne, and if your sons, verse 12, keep my covenant, then and walk in the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. Because the Lord has chosen Zion, and this house that you have built, not that Solomon, not that David built it, but his son built it, would be the resting place for God, for Israel, forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will make a horn grow up for David, a king, a power, an endless reign here, and set up my priests, and clothe his enemies with shame. But the crown on his head shall be resplendent. God's promise and God's provision. David's resolve, David's purpose, David's prayer. Oh, Lord, build this house and prosper it. Well, that's Old Covenant. How do we bring that into the New Covenant? Well, we're not talking about buildings. That's Christendom speak. We're not talking about priests. That's what the fathers brought in. We're not talking about sacraments and all this kind of Christendom worship, you know, which has been established in imitating the Old Covenant. We're talking about New Covenant principles here. Principally, what is this Zion, this temple, this priesthood, this sacrifice, this praise to God? It's all found, rooted and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As Isaac Watts put it, we're talking about David here. Ah, no. We're talking about great David's greater son. It's not the building. It's not the pastors. It's not an earthly king. It's Christ in his people. His people in him. So, when we read in verse 11 and 12, the Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke. I will bless you. Obey my covenant. Keep my word. Your son shall reign forever and ever, and so on. What's the promise in the New Covenant? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're not talking about land or temple or building or men. We're talking about Christ. Come to Christ. Trust Christ. Adore God in Christ. And he will bring us into everlasting liberty and salvation. That's how we move from the covenants. But I'm afraid that many see in these old covenant terms, they see the equivalent in Christendom, and they go for that. Buildings, and men, and robes, and incense, and altars, and buildings of this and that and the other, and all sorts. God deliver us from it. May we have the spiritual meaning of this covenant, which is Christ himself. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, Christ, Christ is all.